The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hello and welcome into At The Yard. I'm Corey Seidman, joined today by former Phillies closer Ricky Pitalico. And today we're going to talk about the news that the Nationals have moved on, according to their owner Mark Lerner, have moved on from Bryce Harper. We're going to look at the Phillies' updated chances to get Harper, the presence of mystery teams, where a Phillies lineup with Bryce Harper might rank among the National League's best lineups, and who the odd man out should be in the Phillies' outfield if they do end up with Harper. So, Ricky, on Friday morning, Nationals owner Mark Lerner, in comments to NBC Sports Washington, said that the team has not heard from Scott Boras and Bryce Harper in months, and that their roster is filled out, that they have moved on. What was your reaction to that news that one of the top competitors for the Phillies for Bryce Harper services looks like they're out of the picture?
First and foremost, somebody got caught with their hand in the cookie jar, is what it sounds like to me. You know, Boras has been saying he's got teams on the hook, Look, the only team on the hook that I really feel like right now is the Phillies, and maybe the Giants have some interest. When I really look into this and all of a sudden an owner comes out and says, no, we haven't talked to them in 2 months. 2 months, Corey. I mean, that's not yesterday. It's not a week ago. That's no interest, if you ask me. And, maybe Boras is thinking about giving him the last nod, but in my eyes, in my opinion, I think he was trying to pull some wool over eyes, and it didn't work.
Yeah, you know, at the end of January, I thought there was a possibility that Harper could return to the Nationals, but based on these recent developments, there was the story in the Washington Post about a week ago where it seemed like Harper's former teammates weren't thrilled with his work ethic and not running out every ground ball and not hustling in the outfield. That, first off, kind of made it seem like a reunion was unlikely. And then these comments today that the sides haven't spoken in 2 months. I mean, to your point, Ricky, think about how much the offseason has evolved in the last 2 months. For those two sides to not speak whatsoever during the Christmas period when the first offers were thought to be coming in, or during the period when negotiations looked like they had reached a stalemate with the Phillies, or even in the post-Manny Machado period, it is surprising. And yeah, that tells me that the Nationals are probably out. And I can't imagine Scott Boras was happy about that because it reduces his leverage.
You have to go even further and really think about, did they even make that 10-year, $300 million offer? I'm starting to doubt that. And, I mean, just thinking about what's going on, look, the Nationals went out and spent money this offseason thinking that they weren't getting Bryce Harper. And I don't think it would behoove them to even bring him back. I mean, when you look at the numbers and look at how much money they spent and how much they have on the payroll, it doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah, the Nationals have spent more than any other team this offseason. Well, I guess now the Padres have after signing Manny Machado. But prior to that, the Nationals had spent more than any other team in free agency. It started with the Patrick Corbin $140-plus million contract. They brought back Jeremy Hellickson. They added two catchers, Kurt Suzuki and Yan Gomes, via trade. Brian Dozier's now in the fold. So the Nationals have taken that, even if that Harper offer was on the table once upon a time, they've taken that money and they've spread it around, allocated it to a bunch of different people. And quite frankly, that's why the Nationals still look like a threat in the division, because they have a pretty deep, formidable roster. Okay, so aside from the Phillies, who are clearly the main pursuer of Bryce Harper, because the White Sox seem like they're out. There have been multiple reports that they're out. And if you listen to what Rick Hahn and Ken Williams, their executive VP and GM, have said this week, it indicates they're not willing to go to $300 million. The Giants don't seem like they're willing to go long term. Is there any mystery team out there, any team that you think might have a shot at Bryce Harper that we haven't been hearing about?
I mean, the only team that you would even think about right now, it has to be the Padres. I mean, look, if he's not going to take short term, you X out a ton of teams, and I think that includes teams like the Yankees. So, I mean, look at, you know, the Padres have money, and they, even if they get Harper, they still don't have to pay a ton of guys for the next couple of years. They have a lot of young kids that are still in the minor leagues, that are prospects that are coming up. It wouldn't surprise me if they try to swoop in and take this one too, because obviously, Scott Boras has not gotten what he wanted from the teams right now for Bryce Harper.
The Padres' payroll, even after adding Manny Machado, is around $110 million.
Yeah.
So if they were to sign Harper, for example, to a $35 million a year contract, they'd still have a payroll that's not toward the top of the league. I mean, they'd be at about 145. The only reason I see that as probably not happening is, you know, I think it would really piss off Manny Machado and his agent if Bryce Harper were to sign with the same team and get more money, based on how much these two agents, Dan Lozano and Scott Boras, dislike each other. Although at Manny Machado's introductory press conference today, the Padres GM, A.J. Preller, was asked about the possibility of adding another big-name player, and he didn't immediately shoot it down. So the Padres do seem like they might be lingering in that market.
And think about this for a second. You could say what you want, but they just swooped in on the Machado thing.
Exactly.
It wasn't like they were, unless they were just waiting in the weeds, because, look, the funny thing is about this whole offseason, all you heard is Harper, Harper, Harper. You didn't hear anything about Machado, and he's the one that gets the 10 years, $300 million like that.
You know, that's a good point. It seemed like over the last 3 weeks there was no news about Machado, no rumors about Machado, and I think that speaks to the difference in the way their two agents operate, that Dan Lozano does his stuff much more behind the scenes than Scott Boras does. I'll throw out a team out at you, though, that I think might be kind of sniffing around on Harper that hasn't been mentioned whatsoever this offseason, the Houston Astros. The Astros tried to trade for Harper last July. They're a team that's clearly in win-now mode. Their payroll's at about $155 million. So, again, that's another team that could afford to add another high-priced contract and still be well below the luxury tax. You know, I'm not saying that I've heard anything that they are in it, but that's a team that it wouldn't shock me if we were to start hearing rumblings that the Astros have poked around on Harper and potentially adding him to a team that would clearly be, in my opinion, the best in baseball if they did bring him in. And that's a Houston team that's had a very quiet offseason.
They have had a quiet offseason. You know what? I saw those same articles this week. There are a bunch of articles written about how the GM wanted to get him at the trading deadline. Yeah, so, I mean, why not? I mean, you know what's funny? You look around the league, a lot of these teams are not that high up on the payroll list, and there are some teams that could just swoop in. Do I see it happening right now? I don't think people like to really play with Boras. I really don't. I think people like to stay away from him. They like his mid-range guys, and that's about it. And I think he scares some people away. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But like I said, what if Harper just decides, you know what, I really don't want to go to Philly. I'm going to take a 3 or 4 year deal somewhere, or even like a 2 year deal for 60, 70 million, and then I'll become a free agent again.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that
can you imagine that though? He would turn everything upside down.
He would. The reason I can't see that happening now. First off, our Jim Salisbury reported earlier this week that the concerns that Harper doesn't want to play in Philly, that they're false, that they're overblown, that he would welcome playing here. That's first off. Second off, I think that if Harper were to accept anything less than $300 million, anything less than 10 years, that's going to be hard to swallow for both he and Scott Boras that Manny Machado got the better long-term deal. So that's why I don't see him going short-term. And yeah, it's reached the point now where it does seem like it's the Phillies bidding against themselves. If you're another club and Scott Boras calls you and tries to, you know, pique your interest in Bryce Harper, if I'm one of those teams, I'd be fearful that they're just using me. You know, that they're just using me to get the Phillies to boost their offer, too. So that's another reason why, you know, a suitor that hasn't emerged to this point, you know, just might hesitate.
Put yourself in John Middleton's shoes right now. What? I don't budge from $300 million. I don't.
You don't go to like 330?
Nope. Ebs, why? Why would you?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Nobody, is there really somebody else that's going to give 10 and 300? Probably not.
Probably not.
You know what? Take your chances. Here, 10 and 300 million. You call me Monday or Tuesday and we'll finish this thing up. If not, we're moving on.
You know what I find so funny about that? And I do agree with you. But you know what I find so funny about that is that all offseason, Phillies fans loudly have been saying, do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get Harper, sign him. If it's $350 million, sign him right now. Just end this, Klentak. And now that Machado has signed and Harper's still out there and the Phillies are in this major position of strength as the biggest suitor for Harper, now that the Phillies are in this position, now fans are saying, well, maybe they shouldn't go to $300 million. Maybe they should just offer him in the two... Which is, this is exact... That means, if this is the case, It means that Matt Klentak has played this exactly right, because now the Phillies are in the position of strength and Harper doesn't have as much leverage as he may have had 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Well, let's face it. They were playing poker. He called his bluff and somebody else showed their hand. That's exactly what happened here. I mean, the other thing, yeah, I was on this whole thing about a month ago saying, you know what, just drop your offer. Then see what happens. Because then they have nothing to go on. Don't you see? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're in a situation right now where, you know what? All right, Boris, you've been lying the whole time. How do we even know the Giants are really in on this? You know, I mean, I would just stick to my guns. I would stick to my 10 and 300. Don't budge either way. Let him get the same. Why does he deserve more than Manny Machado? Think about this for a second. You look at their hitting numbers, almost exactly identical throughout their years. I'm not, you know, points here and there, RBIs here and there, okay. But, I mean, very similar, almost identical. Who's better defensively? Manny Machado. Why does he get more?
I would argue that Harper is a much better hitter. You know, I know that Harper has had a couple down years, but a down year from Bryce Harper is still a way higher ceiling than a down year from Machado, for example. In 2017, Machado hit .259 with a .310 on base percentage. Bryce Harper this past season hit .249 and his on-base percentage was nearly .400. So I think Harper's the better hitter. To your point, yes, Machado's the better defender. He's the better base runner. This is why these players have been ranked so similarly. And I don't think that Bryce Harper's worth $50 million more than Manny Machado. I think
he's not.
No, maybe he's worth $2 million a year more, if that. But
you think he's worth $2 million more a year?
Maybe.
$20 million extra dollars.
The only concern I would have is that if the Phillies do just say, okay, 10-300, we're sticking to this offer, we're not going too far higher, would the Harper-Boris camp be so miffed from that that they'd be like, you know what, we're taking our business elsewhere? That's the concern.
Yeah, but if you do, I mean, this is where you have to take chances.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you say what you will, but do you believe he really has a better offer than the Phillies have made? We don't know what the number is the Phillies made. We're assuming that it's probably right at 300, if not maybe even a little lower.
Yeah, well, it seemed like the Phillies were willing to offer in the mid-200s for Manny Machado before they, you know, I think that came out of nowhere. I think that surprised other teams that were in the mix for Machado when the Padres came over the top with 300.
And way over the top from what we understand.
Yeah.
I mean, but, I mean, point being, where does this really leave Bryce Harper right now? He you know who's on the phone all day, him and Boris today.
Yeah. He's probably like, where am I going, man? Who's in?
Not a good conversation because he's already put him, although I think this actually helps Bryce, the player, because it makes him look like this was being done by Boris now. To fans.
It also probably helps Bryce Harper at this point kind of zero in on the teams that really are still in on him. And, I mean, that's clearly the Phillies. So let me ask you the next question then. So if the Phillies end up with Bryce Harper, they're going to have a crowded outfield. One of Nick Williams or Odubel Herrera would probably have to be traded. Which one would you, if you're the Phillies, would you be trading?
I'm more apt to go with Odubel. He's got a friendly contract, right? We agree with that?
Yes.
And I think he could get you a pitcher.
So you would trade Odubel because of the value of the contract and because you think he could bring a stronger return?
Look, there's four guys I would trade right now. I mean, but you look at the way it's set up right now. Look, if Quinn could stay healthy in center field, you know, that's great. But I mean, Nick Williams, here's my thing with Nick Williams. I feel like he hasn't gotten his playing time. He hasn't gotten his due, and I think the guy could hit. I mean, a lot of people say differently. I think he's a pretty good ball player, and I think if he got his repetitions, he could prove that in numbers. But I don't think he's ever going to get the repetitions in Philadelphia.
Yeah, because the Phillies, well, for example, last season, Nick Williams played 140 games, but he only had 448 plate appearances. He didn't get, you know, that's about 150 plate appearances shy of a full season. He didn't get a full run, and he still hit 17 homers, respectable numbers.
He's a 20-home run guy.
Yeah, I think he can hit 20 to 25 over a full season.
All right, so Odubel, what do you get? You get a guy that can hit. We know that. He's very streaky at times. He's very down, and when he goes down, he goes way down.
Sure does.
So, you know, there's no middle playing field for him. And the one thing, I mean, he's been around, what, 4 years now? Is that about right?
Odubel?
Yeah.
He's been, 2015, yeah.
So, I mean, the way I look at it, I know he said there's a lot of times where I wasn't concentrating. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, but, I mean, how long are you going to put up with that?
Well, okay, so if the Phillies were to trade Odubel in that scenario, who plays center? I mean, is Roman Quinn your everyday center fielder? Can you trust a guy like that who's never been able to stay healthy?
Harper also plays center every once in a while.
He struggled there last year when he did play there.
Well, he does play there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, McCutcheon could play center, too.
He could. He's lost a step, but he's still probably a capable center fielder. He's going to get to most of the balls.
You don't need that step at Citizens Bank Park.
You don't think so? In that left center field wall that kind
of... You know what? You cheat a little bit towards that area and you're fine.
And he's so used to that, too. He's played here a ton over the years.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great ballpark to play outfield in because it's not very big. And, think about how big Pittsburgh's is.
Yeah.
It's a big outfield.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm glad you said that you would trade Odubel because I would trade Nick Williams. And the reason that I would move Williams is just because I think that Odubel's skill set with Harper would be more useful than Williams's. You know, Nick Williams, the value is derived from that he's a left-handed power bat, really good bat speed. We talked about how he could hit 20 to 25 homers, whereas I see Odubel more as when things click for him, which is not what the case was in 2018, we've seen that this guy can hit 290. We've seen that he can take his walks, approach 200 hits, maybe not get there, but get to like 160 or so. And I just think that skill set would play better with this Phillies team than Nick Williams. I think Nick Williams would be a bit redundant with Bryce Harper because, you know, the upside of Williams is similar to kind of what Harper would provide. I'm not talking about, you know, that Williams could hit that level, but in terms of the skills. And plus the fact that Herrera can play center field. But it'll be interesting if it does happen to see which route the Phillies go, because if that comes to pass, the Phillies aren't going to have a whole lot of leverage trading one of those guys because the other teams are going to know that the Phillies have to move them.
Well, the other thing, my main reason for trading Odubel over Nick would be because you're getting more back.
Right, and I think you're right about that. I think you would get more back, and the fact that Odubel is under that team-friendly contract, that he's under club control and you know exactly what he's going to be earning, I think that's valuable in the open market as well.
Yeah, and the other thing that's, I mean, come on, 3, 4, 5 starters, I know we talked about this, but you definitely need to bring somebody in. And if you could package, you know, one of these guys with one of those starting pitchers, and, you know, we're talking like Velasquez or, I like Pavetta. Velasquez, one of those guys, Eichhoff, you know, if you could package them and get a good number three starter, I think that's a win.
So like Robbie Ray of the Diamondbacks is someone who's been on the trade block this offseason because the Diamondbacks are kind of in rebuild mode. Robbie Ray is a high strikeout lefty. He offers a lot of the same variance as a Pivetta or Velasquez in that on a given night he might strike out 10, on another night he might last 3 2/3 innings. I wonder if a package of like Odubel and a pitching prospect and another starting pitcher who's major league ready, I wonder if that would get the Diamondbacks to trade Robbie Ray. By all accounts, their asking price has been very high so far.
Right. I mean, they're not looking to win this year. I mean, we know that. So they're looking for down-the-roaders at this point. And, you know, who's going to be those down-the-road guys? I mean, I really believe, you know, a Vince Velasquez and a Odubel. See, that would probably bring Nick Williams back into the picture, though.
Uh-huh.
This is why it's hard to say who you would trade. Because I'm thinking, would you trade Velasquez and Odubel for Robbie Ray? I think that's a lot.
Too much to give up, you mean?
Yeah, I think that's a lot for one pitcher who's going to be dynamite and then bad.
It's a lot for an upgrade that might not be all that meaningful. You know, that might add a half win or one win to your 2019 total. So it's like you have to ask yourself that question. Obviously, the appeal of a guy like Ray is that he throws from the left side. The Phillies could use a capable left-handed starter. Cole Irvin did start their first spring training game, and it'll be interesting to see if he makes it up at some point this season. But Ricky, okay, so let me, along the lines of a lot of the guys we've talked about, Velasquez, Pivetta, Eflin, Nick Williams, who is a Philly that you're looking at in spring training or early in the season that you think has a real chance to take a step forward in 2019?
Scott Kingery. If given the opportunity, I really think this is a guy that could really jump up and do something. I like the kid. I wish they would just give him a position and let him play and move on from that. Obviously, we haven't seen that. But I think he needs to take a step forward, not just for the team, but for his own mindset. You know, I mean, you think about last year, he came up like gangbusters the first couple weeks, and then all of a sudden playing time went down, he started failing, and he just wasn't the same guy. I want to see that guy come to fruition. I want to see him be you know, what he was touted as in the minor league. So I think Scott Kingery.
I'm with you. It's probably going to require an injury for him to get the playing time that he's going to need to settle in.
Yep. Are you a little surprised they still have Hernandez?
Yes and no. Yes, because he's been rumored to be on the move for like 4 years now. No, because if you look around the league, second base really is one of the deepest positions in all of baseball. Think about how inexpensive some of these guys were. Josh Harrison just signed with the Tigers for $2 million, 1 year, $2 million. Cesar Hernandez is going to get four times that. Which player would you rather have, Harrison at $2 million or Cesar at four times that? DJ LeMahieu signed a rather inexpensive two-year deal with the Yankees. Brian Dozier signed a one-year deal with the Nationals. So there's just so many cheap ways for teams around the league to improve at second base rather than meet the Phillies' asking price for Cesar Hernandez.
Which is, yeah, 100% true. I mean, you know, I just think the Phillies were they've been waiting for this Harper Machado thing to get done so they could figure out what they can and can't do after the fact.
Yes.
Obviously, now you could trade some infielders if you wanted to, but do you really want to right now? Well, probably not. I mean, but outfielders, there's too many to start with. I mean, somebody's not going to be there at the beginning of the year. We know that.
Well, the other thing, too, is that, you know, sometimes trades come together very quickly, but oftentimes they don't. And if the Phillies were to sign Bryce Harper, it's not as if they could just turn around and immediately trade a Nick Williams or Odubel Herrera, because even if they had previously gauged teams' interest in them, another team, what they're willing to offer for a Herrera or Williams might decrease once they see the Phillies sign Harper, because they would realize the Phillies need to trade one of these guys. So why would we give them exactly what they want? So, you know, that's a situation that if it were to happen, the Phillies might be forced to enter the season with one of those starters as just a glorified fourth outfielder. So that'll be interesting to monitor as well.
No doubt about it. You can't just run around with this glorified fourth and fifth outfielders. It doesn't make sense.
All right, last question for you, Ricky, and this has nothing to do with Bryce Harper.
Uh-oh.
Although I guess it does kind of, because they have the same agent. Jake Arrieta, last offseason, he signed with the Phillies on March 11th, so he wasn't in camp right at the beginning. This time he has been, and there have been some stories that have come out of Clearwater from reporters that, you know, Arrieta's taken time to talk to some of the younger players. He took time to talk to Davey Grulon, who's their one of the Phillies' catching prospects. How much value do you place in Arrieta having a full spring training? And do you think that he will be a better pitcher than we saw last season because of it, or is that just wishful thinking?
You know, to say he's going to be a better pitcher, that's hard to really look into the future. But I will say, being in spring training the whole time gets you more acclimated to your teammates. It gets you involved with your teammates. It gets you more comfortable with everybody, with the catchers, with everybody playing behind you. So I got to believe he's going to be better. Plus, he had an injury, that knee injury. So I'm going to say he's going to be better. I definitely think so. And from what I understand, he's coming in with a very good mindset this season. I thought last year he let some things get to him, which was a little surprising as a veteran starting pitcher. For instance, the errors behind him. I mean, look at his unearned runs. You know, you really got to bear down and hook up your teammates at that point. This is, I mean, I'm not going to say it was because of injury, but I'm sure that had a little something to do with it. So, yeah, I do believe he's going to have a better year.
And if Jake Arrieta can get his ERA from that 3.95 range down to like the 3.40 range, I mean, the Phillies, their ceiling would rise.
Well, I mean, the odd part about him is that he was inconsistent. That's not something that he normally had been. Not with that type of fluctuation, I mean.
Yeah, he was either great last season or he was allowing 9 hits in a game, so.
Yeah, you usually don't see that from veterans.
No, you don't. And that's one of the reasons that at the end of the season, Andy McPhail talked about how that 2018 Phillies team was among the most inconsistent he'd ever seen. I think that's a way that the Phillies have really changed the conversation. This team, the way it's set up, looks much more consistent. You know what you're going to expect and get out of McCutchen, out of guys like Realmuto, Segura. There should just be less of the up and down, the major up and down swings night by night, where last season, last summer, we would see the Phillies have an offensive explosion and then for the next 3 games do nothing.
I think what you're going to see this year is a lot more stability, position to position,
mm-hmm.
which for me and you, for pre and post, going to be great.
Sure will. It's going to be a fun summer, man. I'm really looking forward to it.
I hope so. I hope it's a playoff year, that's for sure.
All right, Ricky, thanks as always, man. And to all you out there, thanks for listening to At the Yard. We'll talk to you early next week.